Hello and welcome to the 24th entry into the Dimwit Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Dirksen, back again for another rip-roaring adventure through the annals of my head. Hey everyone, how is it all going? Andrew is no longer with us. He died. It's very sad. In a bus accident, of all things. Just kidding. He's alive and well and back in Orange County, where the plastic surgery flows like milk and honey. The people's faces look stiff and stretched. You know, it's funny they talk about Orange County being one of these places with a lot of fake people, but I find that not to be that true. Yeah, there's some plastic surgery, but I think there's a lot more plastic surgery going on all over the country that we just don't know about because people are covered up in New York during the winter, you know? That's the problem out here in California, especially Southern California. You can wear a bikini top pretty much any month of the year. You don't do that in New York or Boston. All these East Coast people, they get just as much plastic surgery. They just hide it under a turtleneck and wrap a scarf around their head because they're Muslim or something. I don't know. So guys, how's it going? Let's get into it. The corrections from the other week, and just things I had Andrew look up, that he couldn't do live in studio. We were talking about bus murders, and I wanted a list of bus murders, which is a weird thing, and I don't think there was any answer for that. But apparently there's a good amount of bus murders. But there's this one that really just takes the cake. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but my goodness, hang on and get ready for a wild ride. According to witnesses, Tim McLean was sleeping with his headphones on when the man sitting next to him, Vince Lee, suddenly produced a large knife and began stabbing McLean in the neck and chest. The bus driver pulled to the side of the road so that he and all the other passengers could exit the vehicle. The attacker then decapitated McLean and displayed his severed head to the other passengers standing outside. The driver and two other men had attempted to rescue McLean but were chased away by Lee, who slashed at them from behind the locked bus doors. Lee then went back to McLean's body and began severing other parts and consuming some of the victim's flesh. I don't know if this is the first case of bath salts gone wrong, but let's dig into it a little bit more. Let's see what the Wikipedia page is. I think it's called The Killing of Tim McLean or something like that. And my goodness. Oh, good. My internet just doesn't work. Here we go. Tim McLean. Probably should have had this ready to go before the podcast started, huh? Could have prepared a little bit, Kyle. Killing of Tim McLean. Here we go. This is great. 2008, I think it was in Canada. Yeah. And is noted for being a beheading and cannibalism death in Canada. I didn't think it would just be known as a beheading death. You know, cannibalism is post-death. It's not the reason for said death, because you start eating most people. Well, maybe not. I want to know that. Andrew, can you figure this one out for me? Cannibalism. Does it happen... Does it happen to people that are dead most of the time, or does it happen to people that are alive most of the time? You know, like some sicko cuts off a kid's finger and eats it in front of them. Does that happen a bunch? Because I mean, if you feel like if you're eating somebody, your moral code is already out the window. So it doesn't really matter to me if they're alive or dead. Or I would imagine for the cannibal, they're not too concerned. Obviously, there's less squirming, you know. And I don't want you to look up stuff that's, you know, in South America, some tribe in the Amazon that happens to eat their children every once in a while, bake them in a pot or whatever. If they have a miscarriage, they don't want to waste anything because otherwise they're eating tree frogs, you know. I want that. I want like the weird sickos, the cannibalism cases in, you know, developed nations where people wear t-shirts. You know what I'm saying? I don't want any loincloth cannibalism. I want the real deal, like Jeffrey Dahmer type stuff. But I want to know if they're often alive or they're often dead. Because I feel like there must be some sort of weird perversion, maybe, in you know, taking the flesh off someone while they're still alive and eating it. I don't know. But I always do hear that cannibalism, for the most part, almost in any case that I've heard, it's you're taking basically the life force of another and consuming it, so you're gaining their strength. It's some sort of weird thing like that, and I feel like that keeps going on. And then there's also this weird thing, and should I look this up, Andrew? Maybe you should look this up, because I think I'm not going to remember what the name of it is, and it's going to take me forever to find it. But there's this thing about, eating human flesh, you know, and it's like once you get the taste for human, it's like a bear that gets a taste for human flesh. Like once he kills one hitchhiker, well, not a hitchhiker, a backpacker. Once the grizzly kills one backpacker, he gets the taste for human flesh, and that's all he wants. No more trout, you know, no more salmon. But I hear that that's actually true in a lot of cases, that the humans, like, will, once they've had, you know, the butt meat off of Cindy, that's all they want, is they can't get enough of it. And there's an actual, I don't know if there's any, you know, science behind it, or not science, but like a, like, good grief, any reason for it other, but there's like a psychological reason for it or something. I don't know. Look it up, Andrew. There's some bunch of cases. It's, you know, something that's in the psychology field. Anyway, we're talking about cannibalism, and we're talking about Tim McLean being killed in Canada by a crazy Asian man. This is the crazy thing. So, background of Vince Weiguang Li. This guy is nutter butter, dude. He was born in Dandong, China. That's a real thing. Dandong, China? No wonder he had problems. In 1992, Li graduated from the University of Wuhan Institute of Technology with a Bachelor of Science degree in computers. Well, we're fitting stereotypes all over the place, aren't we? From 1994 to 1998, Li worked in Beijing as a computer software engineer. He got into a bunch of fender benders and eventually totaled his van. That's weird that they put that in there. Li immigrated to Canada from China on June 11, 2001, becoming a Canadian citizen on November 7, 2006. Dr. Stanley Yaron said Li was hospitalized in 2003 or 2004 after an incident with the Ontario Provincial Police. Well, there's your first clue that something was going on, because they don't say what happened, but he was hospitalized for a while. He worked in Winnipeg at menial jobs at the Grant Memorial Church for 6 months to support his wife, Anna. Pastor Tom Castor, who employed Li, said he seemed happy to have a job and was committed to doing it well, despite a language barrier with other congregation members. What's weird is one of these guys, like, he was in Beijing, probably crushing it as a computer software engineer, and then he is China that bad? Like, even if you're doing really well for yourself, you still want to move to Canada and work at a church being a janitor? Is that really? I don't get that move. I get it if you're being, you know, persecuted for your beliefs. Maybe he was a Christian in China, and that's not a good thing, right? Are you not even allowed to have a Bible in China? Was that a thing? There was a thing for a while, they're having all these like private little meetings, a basically little underground church scene in China. And I remember there was a big, you know, push to get everybody Bibles and stuff. Is that still a thing? So maybe he was a Christian and he was like, I gotta get out of here. Okay, so Tom Castor said, I think he would occasionally feel frustrated with not being able to communicate or understand, duh, but we have a very patient staff and he seemed to respond well. Castor also said Li did not show any signs of anger issues or any other trouble before he quit in the spring of 2005. He worked as a forklift driver or forklift operator in Winnipeg while his wife worked as a waitress. See, I mean, software engineer in Beijing to forklift operator? I don't know why they let any Asian drive a forklift. Oh my God. It's a car with, you know, knives on the end of it. Li first moved to Edmonton in 2006, abruptly leaving his wife alone in Winnipeg until she joined him later. Okay, his jobs included service at a Walmart, at a fast food restaurant, and a newspaper delivery. I'm starting to get the picture of why he cut this guy's head off. He was just bummed out. His life had gone way downhill, and he needed somebody's head. His delivery boss, Vincent Auger, described Li as reliable, hardworking, and not showing any signs of trouble. 4 weeks before the killing, he was fired from Walmart following a disagreement with other employees. See, there's lots of little tells going on. Like, he was hospitalized, he had some run-ins. Everybody says, oh, no, he's a nice guy, he's reliable. He, you know, didn't cause any trouble. But apparently he did, because he got fired for disagreeing with other employees at a Walmart. Shortly before the incident, Li asked for time off from his delivery job to go to Winnipeg for a job interview. Let's see if he ever made it to that job interview. At midnight, July 28th in Edmonton, Li boarded a Greyhound bus bound for Winnipeg. On July 29th, around 6 p.m., Li got off the bus in Erickson, Manitoba with at least three pieces of luggage and stayed the night on a bench next to a grocery store. Oh, man. It's already bad. I mean, if you're riding a Greyhound bus to a job interview, your life has not panned out the way you want. And he didn't even get a hostel or anything, bro? I mean, probably a good thing he didn't, because there would have been a lot of dead people in bunk beds. But he stayed on a bench next to a grocery store. According to one witness, he was seen at 3 a.m. sitting bolt upright with eyes wide open. This guy sounds like he's been... This sounds like a demonic possession here. On the morning of July 30th, still at the bench, he sold his new laptop computer to a 15-year-old boy, Darren Beatty, for $60. The laptop was seized by RCMP, as I don't know what that is, Royal Canadian Mountain Police? That's what it was. Wow, nailed that acronym quickly, Kyle. Well done. As evidence, the boy was subsequently... Do they all only have Mountain Police? The Royal Canadian, is it all Mountain Police, or do they have, like, City Police? You know, like Vancouver PD? Good question. Look that up, will you? How many Royal Canadian Mountain Police are there, Andrew? And do they all wear the, what's the Brendan Fraser movie? Mountain Dundee, or what's his name? Mountain Dundee. Pretty close. I'm going to look it up right now. Brendan Fraser Mountain Police movie? Gosh, it's like Dundee. What's it? It's just the guy's name, I think. Let's find out. This is exciting, guys. Brendan Fraser. Dudley Do-Right. There it is. Perfect. God, Brendan Fraser. What happened to that dude, huh? He was doing so good when he had that Mummy franchise going for him. And then Monkey Bone came out. And Bedazzled. No, Bewitched. What's the one with the... Is that with her? Or with him? Who was that girl? Yeah, it was Elizabeth Hurley. Remember when she was the rage? What happened to her? Are her and Hugh Grant the same person? That's my question. I think they might be. Okay, so we were talking about Vince, what's his name? Vince Lee? Vince Lee. Okay. So, aftermath. Here's the crazy thing, right? So after this guy, where were we? I didn't finish. Okay. So the laptop was seized by the Royal Canadian Mountain Police as evidence. The boy was subsequently given a new laptop for his honesty about an anonymous businessman. It's weird. An anonymous businessman just gave the kid another laptop? This story's weird. Shortly before 6 p.m., Lee boarded the bus headed to Winnipeg, which was carrying Tim McLean and 35 others. And someone's at my door. And I'm going to see if my... I think this is probably for my roommate, because he always orders Amazon Prime Now. Like, we get like seven people that visit us a day. Hold on, I'm going to pause it, because I don't think he's going outside. Apparently, my roommate wasn't home. All right, we're back. I think he got a record or something in the mail. Okay, what were we doing? We were talking about Vince Lee. Okay. Lee boarded the bus headed to Winnipeg, which was carrying Tim McLean and 35 other passengers. Witness Garnett Caton said the attacker seemed oblivious to others when the stabbing occurred, adding he was struck by how calm the man was. There was no rage or anything. He was like a robot stabbing the guy, he said. When he appeared in Portage La Prairie Courthouse on charges of second-degree murder, the only words Lee reportedly uttered were pleas for someone to kill him. Oh, this is sad. I feel really bad for his wife. Where is she at? I don't know, Edmonton or something like that. Poor girl. Second degree murder? I mean, what's the difference between second degree and first degree? How do you get second degree for killing somebody like that? You can behead somebody and still are like, well, let's not give him first degree. Unless they thought, it must be because he, you know, pleaded insanity or something like that, right? Like, so he wasn't in his right mind. So they said it wasn't really you doing the killing. It was your crazy, it was Bob from Twin Peaks doing it, you know? Let's get into the trial here. Lee's trial commenced on March 3rd, 2009, with Lee pleading not criminally responsible. This means that he accepted the offense. Here we go. This is going to answer my question. This means that he accepted that the offense occurred, but he claimed that he was unable to form the necessary mental element or mens rea. I don't know what mens rea is. Hold on. Mens rea is, in criminal law, is viewed as one of the necessary elements of some crimes. The standard common law test of criminal liability is usually expressed in the Latin phrase, oh boy, actus reus non facit rem nisi mens sed rea, which means the act is not culpable unless the mind is guilty. Hey. Thus, this sounds cool. It sounds like a real loophole. Thus, in jurisdictions with due process, there must be an actus reus or guilty act accompanied by some level of mens rea to constitute the crime with which the defendant is charged. As a general rule, criminal liability does not attach to a person who merely acted with the absence of mental fault. The exception is strict liability crimes. What? All right, so he's insane and he wasn't in his right mind when he killed somebody. That must be awesome. Could you do that if you're on drugs? Like, if you're on Couldn't you just do that on if you were just tripping balls on LSD and you killed somebody? Couldn't you just come down and say, hey, look, I wasn't in my right mental state, so I shouldn't be that. I hate that. Or like, then if you kill somebody with your car when you're drunk, then you should be able to get second degree. Do you get second degree or do you get first degree? I don't know. But you should get first degree because you're just a freaking idiot, right? Yeah, you weren't in your right mind, but you chose to not be in your right mind. This guy's a little different. He sounds actually insane because it doesn't sound like he was on anything. But if you're on bath salts and you eat someone's face off, you should probably get charged with first degree. I don't want this mens rea garbage. The psychiatrist said that Lee performed the attack because God's voice told him McLean was a force of evil and was about to execute him. All right. The presiding judge, I think he was just listening to his music too loud. I think that's the only thing that Tim McLean had going against him. The presiding judge, John Scherfield, accepted the diagnosis and ruled that Lee was not criminally responsible for that killing. This guy should have been murdered on the spot. This is why I think we should just do the shooting. What do they call it? A shooting squad? What's that? That's not the right word. The firing squad. Just on the spot, like at full Russian Putin status, or like, I don't know, Cold War status, where you just, there's a door outside the courtroom that just leads into a concrete alley, very Soviet, you know, gray and dark, and it's always foggy for some reason. And you just have six guys standing there with rifles, and they all shoot them right there on the spot, and then we drag their body off into a ditch and then let, like, you know, dogs eat it or whatever. When it's people like this, I'm just kind of like, what? We're going to try to rehabilitate these people? It doesn't work. I've been listening to a lot of serial killer stuff, and my brain's a little fried on this stuff. But Ed Kemper, right? He killed his grandparents when he was 15 years old. And then they put him into a mental hospital, and they let him out when he was like 25 or 21. I don't know. It was like 5 or 6 years. It wasn't that long at all. And they're like, hey, he's rehabilitated. He told us that he feels fine now. He killed his grandparents at 15. And guess what? Then he went on to become the co-ed killer that killed, I think it was co-ed killer. Is that Ted Bundy? Ugh. He killed a bunch of people, right? That's my point. After he was, you know, rehabilitated. It doesn't work. People that are nut jobs like this, people that decide it's a good idea at any point in their life to cut somebody's head off on a Greyhound bus, are not the kind of people that are going to be, you know, it's not like going to recovery for drinking too much a couple times. This guy decapitated somebody. They should be put down like cats, you know? We don't need him. And it doesn't sound like he was really, you know, helping that much. I bet he was a terrible Walmart greeter. I was going to do a really racist impression, but I'm not. I'm choosing to take the high ground here. So the aftermath. This is what's insane, you guys. Sorry I'm spending so much time on this, but I found it wildly interesting. So I'm just going to go through this real quick and then we'll be done. The week following the attack, Greyhound Canada announced it was pulling a series of nationwide advertisements, which included the slogan, "There's a reason you never heard of Bus Rage." Because you hadn't heard of Vince Lee. The incident has led to numerous calls and petitions demanding increased security on inner city buses. After the incident, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals attempted to run an ad in the Portage Daily Graphic comparing the killing of McLean to the consumption of animals. The paper's publisher refused to run the ad. Yeah, because PETA is stupid. If you're really involved in PETA, you don't. But the thing is, it's not that you like animals; it's you hate people. I'm sure this has been said 1,000 times. But these people are socially. These are the people we should be looking out for. The people that kill animals at a young age are turned into serial killers. The people that have too many pets are also serial killers. If you love or hate animals too much, you're a psychopath. And so PETA people are psychos. The family of Tim McLean have brought a lawsuit of $150,000 against Greyhound, the Attorney General of Canada, Vince Lee. $150,000 for getting your son getting decapitated? Really? That's it? I might push for $1 million or two. You know, it's Greyhound, just the biggest bus company of all time. Go for it. Go for gold. What kind of low self-esteem lawyer and family is this? Yeah, you know, our son, he wasn't really a success. He wasn't climbing the ladder to becoming a CEO somewhere. You know, so 150 grand? Can we have our son's severed head or his skull or something? And we have to bury him in 3 caskets. Poor guy. On June 3rd, 2010, this is where it starts getting crazy. On June 3rd, 2010, Lee was granted supervised outdoor walks with his mental health facility as voted by the Provincial Review Board. Okay, that's fine. On February 16th, 2011, two passengers, Deborah Tucker of Port Colborne, Ontario, and Kaylee Shaw of London, Ontario, filed a lawsuit against Lee, Greyhound, and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Government of Canada for being exposed to the beheading. This is the stupid shit. And of course it's women. For being exposed to the beheading. They are each seeking $3 million in damages. The family of Tim McLean, the guy that got beheaded, is getting brought a lawsuit for $150,000 against Greyhound. These dumb bitches, these pathetic pieces of shit, are suing Greyhound, Lee, the Mountain Police, and the government of Canada for being exposed to the beheading for $3 million each. What a... Oh, I hate these people. They're probably the PETA people, too. I wish these women got beheaded in the back of the bus. What a piece of shit, these people. My goodness. You can't... How is that anybody... I mean, sure, you could go after Lee. I'm fine with that. I mean, he did kind of like, bleh, like show you the head. I get it. But Greyhound, how is Greyhound responsible? Or the Mountain Police? Or the government of Canada? What a bunch of losers. I hope they didn't get a penny. I hope they're in a... Oh, man. All right. On May 30th, this is everything that's wrong with the world. On May 30th, 2011, the CBC reported that Lee is responding well to psychiatric treatment, and his doctor has recommended that he will receive more freedoms phased in over several months. On May 17th, 2012, the National Post reported that Lee had been granted temporary passes that will allow him out of the Selkirk Mental Health Center for visits to the Sound of Selkirk, supervised by a nurse and peace officer. In an interview, Lee spoke for the first time, saying that he began hearing the voice of God in 2004, and that he wanted to save the people from an alien attack. Perfectly normal. On February 27, 2014, the CBC reported that on March 6th, Lee will be allowed to have unsupervised visits to Selkirk starting at 30 minutes and expanding to full day trips. What's he going to do? Sleep on a park bench and sell laptops to kids? Since 2013, he is allowed to have supervised visits to Lockport, Winnipeg, and nearby beaches. Those visits will be relaxed. Nearby beaches? What are you doing? Getting a suntan? He's Asian. Come on. These guys don't tan. On July 17, 2014, the Toronto Sun reported that one of the first officers on the scene, CPL Ken Barker, and a Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer, had committed suicide. The family stated in his obituary that he was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. All right, well, they didn't try to sue anybody. On February 27, 2015, CBC News reported that Lee was given unsupervised day passes to visit Winnipeg so long as he carried a functioning cellular telephone while using them. On May 8, 2015, CTV News reported that Lee will be granted passes to group homes in the community. And finally, this was way too long, and I apologize. In February of this year, 2016, it was reported that Lee had legally changed his name to Will Baker. Finally got an Americanized name. That was part of his problem. And was seeking to leave his group home to live independently. He won the right to live alone on February 26th upon the recommendation of the Criminal Code Review Board. This guy's out, you guys. He's free. He's out walking the streets again. Will Baker, the Greyhound guillotine. I mean, this guy is back out. After when did this happen? 2008. So what? 9 years ago. And that's all it took. He decapitated a human being, decapitated, and started eating him. And this guy's back are like, "Bep, Will Baker. He could be your neighbor." You know, we're all worried about. I'm worried about the what do they call that? Annie's List or something like that. I don't know. The sexual offender thing where you look it up and there's all these red dots around, you're like, oh, there's a lot of sexual offenders. This guy, I mean, somebody can pee in an alley, you know, and get busted for this and become a sex offender. There should be something, a bigger website for guys that have killed people and where they're living, because this guy could be your sad neighbor, you know? So anyway, that was a bus murder that just really, whew, really got me going. Okay, let's see what else we got going on for the correction, since we're already, what, half an hour into the show? Not 24 minutes, all right. Piracy has been going on forever. I was asking about pirates and where they operate the most. The Phoenicians in the Mediterranean in the 14th century, many enemies of Rome on the Aegean and the Adriatic would pillage Roman villages and even once kidnap Julius Caesar in 75 BC. The Vikings in Scandinavia between the 8th and 12th century attacked villages from Europe all the way down to Africa. The thing about that I feel like that is different between normal pirates and Vikings is Vikings, their entire culture was basically being pirates. They like all got under the longships and like, let's go wreak some havoc on small islands. And they went over to Ireland and like, hey, you ladies will have brunette hair. In like six generations, all you're going to have red hair because you got raped by us. So I just feel like that was a cultural thing. Scandinavians, Vikings, that's what they did. They weren't just, pirates. I think of pirates being like Spanish pirates. It's not like the Spanish were, if you were Spanish, you were a pirate. This makes sense. If you're a Scandinavian, you were a Viking, right? Am I wrong in that? It's not like if you're Spanish, you were you worked for Blackbeard. You know what I mean? They were like the guys, they were thieves and robbers and things like that. They weren't accepted into the mainstream. Whereas Scandinavia, these people were the bee's knees. I wish I was more proud of my Viking heritage. I should be. I like them a lot. And you want to talk about world travelers, my goodness. So they were, I always talk about how they got to the New World before Christopher Columbus and all that, like Leif Erikson or whatever came over, landed in Nova Scotia, and he looked around, he's like, yeah, it's not for me. And then he went back. And he didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to plant a flag or like give people smallpox or anything. Just was like, nah, we're good. It's too far, Why do we got to go settle this? We already got, our great white north and the midnight sun, We don't need this. Looks a lot like, our homeland. Everybody talks about that. But what they don't talk about is they find Viking burial grounds all up in the northern part of the thing of Norway and Finland and Sweden that have like Asian coinage in it. From like China, these guys went everywhere in the world and never made a big deal about it. They're the best. That's why I like the Vikings. I don't know. I probably talked about this before, so let's move on. Let's see. The Johnny Depp types of pirates didn't come around until the 1600s. So after they started looking for the Fountain of Youth, right? Anyway, okay, the last thing for the corrections was the Concorde. I was talking about the Concorde, the plane that could go, I think it was supersonic speeds, right? It would fly up into the one of those spheres, the stratosphere or whatever. It could do, I was wondering how quickly it could get to London and New York, because that was the big claim to fame. I think now it takes, 6 or 7 hours from London to New York? Because it takes 10 or 12, right, from California, but from New York, I think it takes six sounds right. But it could go from New York to London in 3.5 hours. So split that, whatever time you're doing now in half. So you're going, what's the average speed of a 747? 600 miles an hour? So you do 1200 miles an hour ish. My goodness. That's crazy. On August 8th of 2015, plans for the Concorde 2, which would make the same flight in 1.5 hours, was unveiled. That's insane. That is just wild. I was talking about my grandma. That they took the Concorde to London, but they had some sort of weird failure where the landing gear wouldn't come down or something like that. It was real scary, and that's why they stopped doing it, I guess. Or for a while there, they were having some landing gear trouble, and there was a couple other failures. I don't know if any of them blew up or anything like that. It wasn't like a big TWA thing, or wasn't there? Isn't there one airline that just crashed so much in like a succession of years that they just went, nah, we got to get rid of this one. I think it was TWA. Wasn't that the one? TWA flight something or other. I remember getting back from vacation one time, and I think we were coming back from Hawaii, and when we landed, immediately I heard about, while we were in the air, another plane had crashed. And this is what's sort of scary, and I don't know if it's just one of those things where since I'm flying in a plane, I'm noticing this stuff more often, or noticing it, or if it's just a crazy coincidence, but almost every time I fly, it seems like right around it or during it, another plane goes down. When I went to Japan in 2009, I think, with some buddies, that was the day we were flying out. Like, before we got on our flight, we saw that there were these reports of that plane that left from Brazil, I think, or was flying to Brazil, got caught up in a storm or something and disappeared. Remember this? And then I think they found the wreckage and obviously everybody died. Like, that's happened several times where I've been in the air or about to get in the air and another plane has gone down. It's kind of freaky. So I'm just biding my time here, you know what I mean? But the Concorde, they don't do it. I think they stopped using it not because of the malfunctions or whatever, but the plane tickets were so expensive and they didn't hold that many passengers. Where they went, we got to get the proletariat flying more. So the way we can cut costs is if we slow down the plane and the flying and the fuel isn't as expensive. Because basically, if you were flying on the Concorde, you're the cream of the crop. That's basically like flying a private jet. You know what I mean? You had to pay top dollar to save 3.5 hours, which. I don't mind watching four more crummy movies. Man, my selection of movies on planes are so bad. I saw, and these are my choice. Like, of course, I've had to watch Rise of the Silver Surfer, which is just one of the worst movies I've ever seen. But I watched Fracture on a plane. Ugh. It's the one with Anthony Hopkins and Ryan, what's the guy's name? The guy from Lars and the Real Girl? Ryan. Is it Ryan? Oh, I can't remember his name. He is, good grief. Ryan. This is sad. I can't even think of any other movies he's in right now. Ryan. This is bothering everybody, isn't it? Huh? Let's just sit in this for a minute. Ryan. He's in Drive. What's the guy's name? Starts with an S, right? Ryan. This is, I really am the dumbest person. Ryan, no. Drive. The movie Drive. Internet. Ryan Gosling. My God. Why is it that that happens? Like, as soon as the mic's in front of me, I try to get my brain moving too fast, and I can't read, I can't talk. I can't remember actors' names that are definite A-listers. It's bad. I don't know what happens. What was I talking about? Oh, The Concord. And why was I talking about Ryan Gosling? Anyway, whatever. This is going to bother me now. Oh, I watched Fracture. Ryan Gosling and Anthony Hopkins. And it was about some killer. Let's read the synopsis. It's so bad. No one ever heard of it. It's one of those ones, like, it's really weird when a movie comes out that has two giant name actors in it and no one ever saw it. Fracture movie. 2007. Let's see. Wonder what it got on Rotten Tomatoes. 71. That's about right. It's like good enough to be positive, but Fracture is a 2000 American-German legal thriller film starring Anthony Hopkins and Ryan Gosling and directed by Gregory Hoblit. Cute name. It is the story of a man who shoots his cheating wife, placing her in a coma, and who then engages in a battle of wits with a young assistant director, district... I cannot read. It is the story... I need to slow down. I'm just trying to read too fast. It is the story of a man who shoots his cheating wife, placing her into a coma, and who then engages in a battle of wits with a young assistant district... I still screwed it up. It is the story of a man who shoots his cheating wife, placing her in a coma, and who then engages in a battle of wits with a young assistant district attorney. Nailed it. After the shooter achieves a dismissal of the case... After the shooter achieves a dismissal of the case on lack of evidence, the assistant DA continues his obsessive mission to prove the man's guilt. Ugh. It's not good. If you look at the... You just gotta look at the poster... You know, it's got the one, it's just two faces. You know, it's just the two front and head shots with the... I'm not explaining this well. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about Fracture. This is dumb. This whole thing is fractured, right? No, it's broken. It's beyond fractured, Kyle. This whole podcast is broken. What's been going on in my life, guys? Now that we have 5 minutes left, I have been working out. I'm back on the wagon, guys. I am crushing butt out there on that treadmill, on that stationary bike, on that rowing machine. Watching the Olympics, getting pumped, watching guys wrestle each other while I'm rowing, and I'm feeling, I'm in. I'm going to get yoked, guys. Actually, I just want to lose weight. I can't remember what I've talked about on this podcast or if I had talked about working out before, but basically, I was doing really well for a long time. Last year, I got a gym membership, was crushing it, keeping myself in shape, eating okay, but basically just trying to work out almost every day. At least doing 30 to 45 minutes of cardio. That's at least the baseline, right? So... Stopped doing that in about January, and then I gained about 8 pounds, 9 pounds back from January to about 2 weeks ago, right? Which isn't too bad. I'm not back. I lost 18 of it originally. So basically, I'm trying to get back down. I want to get to 155. The lowest I got before was 160. I want to get to 155. I'm at 177 right now. No, 167. Sorry, excuse me. 167 right now. I want to get down to 155. Take a look at myself, see how the chops are coming along, how that belly button's looking, you know, and then go from there. See how flat my tum-tum is. See how ripped I look. I just want to get that out there that that's what's happening. I'm gonna be that boring guy that updates you every week on what how much I weigh. Just going to do a live weigh-in, right? But I'm feeling motivated. I'm feeling good. I'm drinking a lot of La Croix. I'm seeing a lot of old man dong. because I go at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., sometimes 9 a.m., because I work late, right? And then I go into work a little later, so I can afford to go in later. But it's not, which is probably a good thing, because there's no hot college chicks, like, getting sweaty, you know? Although that would be motivating for me to see them and, like, want to keep up. But there's not a lot of hot chicks coming in. A lot of just old people, real old. There's this woman that actually looks like John Hurt. When she's always on the stationary bike, the one where you sit kind of back. It's not like you're really riding a bike. It's one where you're kind of laying back on a lazy boy and pedaling. She's always in there, and I swear to God, she looks exactly like John Hurt in 1984. Actually, no, she looks like John Hurt now. I mean, just saggy, just an old droopy dog. It's great. But that's been super fun. Not really fun, but it's been rewarding, because I actually feel like I'm the type of guy that benefits from working out. Can you believe that? Where it's actually the type of thing where after I get done with the workout, I actually have more energy than when I went in. I don't know how that works. The body does weird things, you know, and I don't understand. It's such a mystery to me. Life is a mystery, and so is my own body. It's sad that my body's been around for 29 years, and I still can't quite figure out how it works, or like what's good for me and what's bad for me. You know, why is it such a struggle to maintain anything in your body? You know, it's like, why is it so hard to eat right and diet, or not diet, but to eat right and to exercise? Why is that so difficult for everyone? The metabolism slows down. Why does that happen? Is that just because you can't exercise so much? But so like old primitive people, it's like, well, you're not going to run so much anymore, so we're going to store more fat so you don't have to work as much. Is that how that happens? When are we going to get over this whole primitive thing? I'm so sick of all my primitive stuff still happening. I'm like, aren't we in the 21st century? You know? Don't we have the internet? Why do I have to still have the caveman complex? You know? I'm built like a caveman. I look like a caveman. Just a big, heavy brow. Just a giant forehead. I'm all forehead. What was the purpose of the big forehead for the Neanderthals? Why did you have the sunken eyes? That must have been protect from sandstorms or something, right? I guess. Why didn't they just get big eyelashes? Big, beautiful eyelashes. Why is that a beauty standard? Big eyelashes, but what about a great brow or deep-set eyes? Because they're doing the same thing, right? They're keeping the elements out of your eyeballs. I guess. I don't know. So that was great. Or working out's been fun and been, you know, been good, and I feel better about myself, which is nice, because I just don't want to get out of control. You know, I don't want to ever weigh 180 pounds again. That's not okay for a 5'6" man to weigh 180 pounds. Although I'm built like a cannonball, just a dense guy. I really feel like that's an apt description of how I'm built. Just a cannonball. Just weigh a ton, but I don't look incredibly fat, I don't think. But just dense. Just a dense little ball of goodness that can really hurt people if I want. But also, I can be used for good. Blowing up other ships, I guess. I don't know. The other thing I did is I wound up going down to Santa Cruz to see my mom for her birthday. She turned 108. I actually don't know how old she turned. 58? 57? No. 50? No, she's not 56. 57 to 59. Somewhere in there. But I think it's 57 or 58. That's bad. I should know that. But we went down and saw Fiddler on the Roof, which is, did I say that right? Roof? Roof. Roof. I used to say roof. Fiddler on the Roof. Roof. Fiddler on the Roof. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was really well done. And I'll just leave you with this. I'm just going to leave you with a song that I really like from there. And not one of the standard ones. Everybody likes, like, tradition, tradition. Or if I were a rich man. The most Jewish. It's the Jewiest thing ever. That play. It's good. But I'm going to leave you with the song. Play a song out that I really enjoy from the play and the movie and all that stuff. So that's going to be how we end this week. I hope you have a great weekend. You get out there and enjoy one of the last remaining weekends of the summer. Which is really sad. It sucks when you're like out of high school or out of school and you just don't have summers anymore. You don't even really recognize them. It's like I'm going on vacation in late September, you know? I gotta get my life together, guys. Something's gotta give, as Jack Nicholson would say. I don't know. That's a movie with Jack Nicholson and Diane Hunt. Nope, that's Bonnie Hunt. Diane Keaton. There we go. Man, rough today with... I need to get in more actor mode. All right, guys. I'm going to leave you with The Fiddler on the Roof. Anatevka. I'm going to leave you with that song. Enjoy it. I'll see you next week.
Well, Anatevka hasn't exactly been the Garden of Eden.
That's true.
After all, what have we got here?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
A pot.
A pan.
A broom.
A hat.
Someone should have set the match to this place years ago.
A bench. A tree.
What's a house?
Or a stove?
People who pass through on the Tefka don't even know they've been here.
A stick of wood.
A piece of cloth.
What do we leave? Nothing much. Only a Natevka. A Natevka. A Natevka. Underfed, overworked. A Natevka. Where else would the Sabbath be so sweet? A Natevka. A Natevka. Intimate, obstinate.
Just a place.
And our forefathers have been forced out of many, many places at a moment's notice.
Maybe that's why we always wear our hats.